All right, welcome to Making the Argument. Before we get started, I have a very important announcement. We have a brand new deal with GoodRanchers.com. That's right. If you go into Good Ranchers and you use promo code Nick and you sign up for one of their subscriptions, you're not only going to get $15 off, but do you remember the old deal where you got 2 pounds of ground beef with each order? Well, we just upped the game. That's right. You can choose top sirloin, salmon, chicken breast, or bacon now. Every single order you get on that subscription is going to come with free top sirloin, salmon, chicken breast, or bacon. You get to choose which one if you use promo code Nick. And again, $15 off on top of that. That's a savings of $480 in meat by signing up for one of those subscriptions. Not to mention the fact that if you are looking for a gift for someone that is impossible to shop for, you can go on to goodranchers.com and get one of their brand new gift boxes. Now, this is a limited time only offer. It's part of their overall Black Friday special. So go on to goodranchers.com to get more details. Sign up for promo code Nick in order to get that deal, and let's get on with the show.
Hello, this is Nick Freitas, and thank you for joining us here on Making the Argument. Today is Memorial Day, and so we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to talk about why we have Memorial Day in the first place, and then we're going to play a clip for you from somebody that I deeply admire. And I have to tell you, when we look at this and we're looking at our content for these podcasts, we always try to find different things that we can talk about, different clips that we might be able to use. And as I went over this speech that was given by Master Sergeant Roy Benavides, who was a member of 5th Special Forces Group and a Medal of Honor recipient, and we try to find different ways that I could talk about it, the bottom line is I cannot do it justice the way he can. And so we're going to play a speech that he delivered back in 1991, talking about his experience in Vietnam, talking about people that he lost, because Memorial Day is about those that we lost. We have Veterans Day on November 11th every year where we get to thank all of our people for wearing the uniform, but Memorial Day is specifically for those that we lost while serving in the armed forces of the United States. And I hear a lot of people sometimes, they'll say Happy Memorial Day, and I know exactly what they mean by it, and I've never taken offense by it. But the thing that I would tell you is that for many of us that served and lost people overseas, it really is a day of remembrance. There's a certain solemnness to it. And it's not that we don't want people to be happy on Memorial Day. We want you to go out and enjoy the time with your family and have a barbecue or a picnic or whatever it is that you want to do. I think all that we ask is that you remember the price that was paid to ensure that you can do those things. And we lost Master Sergeant Roy Benavides in 1998. He finally died of medical complications. But the life that he lived and the story that he has deserves to be told, because it's not just about him. It's about everyone that he served with. It's about the people that he saved and the people that he lost, and why we have such a thing as Memorial Day, because I can tell you right now, if we ever forget to memorialize the sacrifice made on our behalf by people that gave up all of their tomorrows in order to ensure that we live in a free country, then we will have proven ourselves completely unworthy of their sacrifice. So I encourage you, take the time on this Memorial Day to listen to this speech delivered by Green Beret, Medal of Honor recipient, Master Sergeant Roy Benavides.
I come from a little town named Cuero, Texas. I was born there, the Turkey capital of the world. After the death of my mother and father, at an early age, my brother and I were adopted by an aunt and uncle. We moved to El Campo, Texas, town southwest of Houston, about an hour and a half. I was raised there. I went to school there. I worked at odd jobs there, shine shoes, sold papers, paid cotton. And like a fool, I dropped out of school and I ran away from home. I'm not proud of that. I needed to learn a skill. I needed an education. My adopted father would tell me, son, an education and a diploma is the key to success. Bad habits and bad company will ruin you. Well, I was too old to go back to school. I didn't want to return back, so I joined the Texas National Guard, and I liked what I saw in men in uniform, and I qualified to join the regular army. I needed that education and learn the skill. So I was accepted into the regular army. Then I heard about airborne. I heard about that extra pay that you get for jumping out of airplanes. So I qualified to go to jump school at Fort Benning, Georgia. But the darn recruiters never told me what the training was like. For every mistake that you make, you do push-ups. And I can honestly tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm one of the guys that helped put Georgia into South Carolina doing push-ups. Well, I finished my training. I got assigned to a well-known unit at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, the 82nd Airborne Division. I like the 82nd, thank you. Airborne all the way. I like that. And so after a while there, I heard about the Special Forces. You know it as the Green Berets. And they were coming up. So I qualified to join the Special Forces. In 1965, I was sent to Vietnam as an advisor to Vietnamese Infantry Unit. After a short period of time there, I stepped on a mine. I woke up in the Philippine Islands in Clark Air Force Base. I was paralyzed from the waist down. I was declared never to walk again. I was transferred to Fort Sam Houston, Texas, Beach Pavilion. The doctors were initiating my medical discharge papers. But at night, I would slip out of bed and crawl to a wall, using my elbows and my chin. My back would just be killing me, I'd be crying. But I'd get to the wall, and I'd set myself against the wall, and I'd back myself up against the wall, and I'd stand there, like Elijah the Indian. I'd stand there and move my toes, right and left, right. Every single chance I got. And I wanted to walk, I wanted to go back to Vietnam, because of what the news media was saying about us, that our president was not needed there, to burn the flag and what. And I saw a lot of other patients coming back, limbs missing. I wanted to go back. I was determined, because I remember when I was taught in jump school, that old Master Sergeant would tell me, Benavides, quitters never win and winners never quit. What are you? So I'm a winner. And I remember in my special force. And I remember in my special forces training, one of the training missions that I was on, I remember that my leader would tell me, faith, determination, and a positive attitude will carry you further than ability. You can do it, Benavides. You can do it. I never forgot those three words, never. So there I was at night, I'd slip out of bed. The nurses would catch me sometime. They would chew me out, give me a pill, a sleeping pill, put me to sleep. They would tell the doctors in the morning. I was determined to walk. 9 months later, here comes my medical discharge paper. And I told the doctor, Doctor, look what I can do. He said, Sergeant, I'm sorry. Even if you can stand up, you'll never be able to walk. I jumped out of bed and I stood up right before him. My back was hurting, aching. I was crying. And I moved just a little bit. The doctor said, Benavides, if you walk out of this room, I'll tear these papers up. I walked out of that ward at Beach Pavilion. I walked out with a limp. I went back to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I started my therapy again, running 5 or 10 miles a day, doing 1,500 push-ups. And I made 3 parachute jumps in 1 day. I was ready to go back to Vietnam, physically and mentally ready to go back. My orders were to go to Central America as an advisor. But being a non-commissioned officer and knowing some of the good officers in the right places, my orders were diverted. So I went back to Vietnam in 1968. The latter part of April, I was inserted, my buddy and I, to gather intelligence information behind enemy lines. And after 2 days on the ground, my buddy was shot through the eye, the back, and legs. Our mission was completed, but I didn't want to leave my buddy behind. I called in for an extraction helicopter to come and get us out. They came in with the McGuire rig. McGuire rig is nothing but a piece of rope, nylon rope with a hook. In that case, there were two ropes. We hooked on, the enemy was firing at us. We pulled up, going up through the canopy of the jungle. Our rope started to twist and rub. You know, nylon, it burns when it rubs. As we cleared the canopy, our rope was completely twisted and rubbing. And there was a non-commissioned officer that looked out of the helicopter, he was riding as a safety man. And when he saw those two ropes burning, he immediately tied himself with a piece of rope around his waist, and he pulled himself out of the helicopter and undid those two ropes, separated them. That's dedication. That's love of fellow man and country. I'll never forget that man. And the enemy was still firing at us, but they never shot us. We landed in a safe spot. My buddy was taken to the hospital shortly thereafter he expired. I was in another staging area waiting for our next assignment. When I heard on the radio something like a popcorn machine, then I heard a voice, "Get us out of here, get us out of here, come in and get us out quick, ASAP." I asked the radio operator, "Who are those?" He said, "I don't know. They haven't gave us any call sign." And I saw some helicopter pilots run to the flight line, scrambling. I ran right behind them. We saw a helicopter coming in to land and had a door gunner slumped over his weapon. When the helicopter landed, I unstrapped the door gunner, Michael Craig, 19 years old. We just celebrated his 19th birthday in March. I cradled him in my arms, and his last words were, "My God, my mother and father." I asked the pilot, "Who are the people on the ground?" He said, "Hey," he said, "it's that black NCO, that non-commissioned officer saved your life the other day, remember?" I said, "Leroy Wright." Leroy always got picked for top secret assignments, him and Musso and O'Connor. So it was an instant reaction. I saw a bag of medical supplies, picked it up, went over to my helicopter, got on the helicopter. We got on with the forward air controller, the guy that's in, he said, "You can't go in there, you can't go in. It's too hot." Little did I know that I was going to spend 6 hours in hell. You heard what the president read, the citation of how I earned the Medal of Honor. But he didn't tell you of what I went through when I engaged in the hand-to-hand combat. I was hitting the mouth with the butt of the weapon. My jaws were locked. After my last return back to the helicopter, when I was boarded on, I was holding my intestines in my hand. We lifted up. The helicopter had over its payload. Blood was flowing on both sides of the helicopter. When we landed, it locked me in our staging area. And it started unloading. It started identifying the bodies. They found out I loaded 3 dead enemy soldiers in that helicopter. I didn't want to leave anybody behind. My mission was to recover the classified material, so if anybody had it, he was on a helicopter. So they let the 3 enemy soldiers on the side, and because I sort of look Oriental, they thought I was one of them, so they let me lay right next to them. And they were putting us in body bags. And I remember my feet being lifted, and I was inserted into the body bag, and I could hear that zipper coming up, and I thought, "Oh my God, no, no." My eyes were shut because I had blood all over my face, and the blood had dried up in my eyelids. And I couldn't talk because my jaws were locked, and I could hear that zipper coming up, and one of my buddies was doing the Mexican head dance, and he was yelling at the doctor, that's Roy Benavidez." The doctor said, "Sorry, there's nothing I can do for him." oh my God, and the zipper just coming up. I was trying to wiggle in my own blood, and finally, I'll find out later, Jerry Cottenham made that doctor at least to feel my heartbeat. When I felt that hand on my chest, I made the luckiest shot I ever made in my life. I spit in the doctor's face. So the doctor said, I think he'll make it. So I was cleaned up, put in a helicopter, alongside with my buddy, one of the guys that I had saved. We got airborne, and I just said to myself, hold on, buddy, just hold on. We're going to get some medical attention. And his grip tightened up on me. And then he let go. I said, oh, God, why do you put me through this test? Why? You helped me get these men out, save them, save this material. Now you take them away from me. Why? And I was crying. I was moving so much that the co-pilot, he happened to look back, and he thought that I was gasping for air. So he gets out of his seat, get his bayonet out, and he's going to do a track on me, and I'm about to kick him out of the helicopter. That's just too much for one day. So we landed in the hospital at Long Bend. I was wheeled to the operating room. And as I was being lifted to my operating table, I saw this nurse on her hands and knees crying, yelling, asking God, why do you do this to these men? Why? Just crying. And as I turned a little bit to my left, I saw on the other operating table a man that had both legs and both arms missing. I passed out. I woke up in the ward. One of my buddies was laying next to me. We were so bandaged up, we couldn't talk. We used to wiggle our toes to make sure that we were still alive. After a short while, my buddy was transferred from there, and I thought he had died. I was transferred to Japan, Tachikawa. And that airplane that I was flying in, medevac, we lost two men. And I remember this nurse kept yelling at me, Benavides, you're not going to die on me. I'm going to pinch you every time you close your eyes. I'm going to pinch you. I'm going to pinch you. Boy, she kept pinching me. When I got to Tachikawa, when I got to Japan, and they wheeled me into the operating room, they disrobed me again. I remember the doctor, I heard him say, what in the world happened to you? Had blue spots, red spots all over me, and I said, that lady kept pinching me up there. So after, I went back to Fort Sam Houston, the Beach Pavilion, and I stayed in that hospital almost a year. I continued with my career, and then I was awarded with a medal. I was dedicating myself to come and speak to schools, to civic groups, to help anyone that I can help. My life was spared for a reason, and I hope there's a good reason. A lot of people call me a hero. I appreciate the title, but the real heroes are the ones that gave their life for this country. The real heroes are our wives, our mothers. Above all, the heroes are the ones that are laying in those hospitals, disabled for life in those hospital beds. You know, there's a saying among us veterans, for those that had fought for it, life has a special flavor that protected will never know. You have never lived till you almost died. And it is us veterans that pray for peace most of all, especially the wounded, because we have to suffer the wounds of war. I'm asked hundreds of times, would you do it over again? In my 25 years in the military, I feel like I've been overpaid for the service to my country. There'll never be enough paper to print the money, nor enough gold in Fort Knox for me to have to keep from doing what I did. I'm proud to be an American, and even prouder and I'm even prouder that I've earned the privilege to wear the Green Beret.
Now that you've heard it, you probably understand exactly why I didn't want to try to relay this story any other way than in his own words. Because when you look at his upbringing and how he grew up and the challenges that he had to face with his mom died when he was 5 of tuberculosis. His father died when he was 2 of tuberculosis. He got adopted. He moved around. He ran away. He dropped out of high school. There was so many things in his life growing up that could have sent him on a completely different direction. But he was the sort of person that recognized the beauty of this country, that recognized the beauty of the opportunity this country provides, and he loved it. And he fought for it, and he fought for the people that he served alongside with. It is incredible to me that if, not just with his younger years, but the moment he stepped on that landmine and was handed medical discharge papers, if he had stopped right there and done nothing else in service to his country, we would still call him a hero and with complete justification in doing so. But the idea that he knew he wasn't done yet, he knew his mission wasn't over. And because he was willing to crawl on his elbows and his chin to that wall, because he insisted on walking again, and not just walking again for his own benefit, but because he was going to put his abilities back into practice to serve this country and to fight alongside people that he cared about and loved. How many more people are alive today as a result of it? Not just on that one mission where we know he saved 8 lives. I don't want to hear anybody say that the best days of this country are behind us. As long as we are a nation that can still produce men and women like Master Sergeant Roy Benavides, I have no doubt that we will thrive as a nation and as a people. But that is a choice. Every step along the way, he made a choice to serve because he believed in something greater than himself. And today, we have an obligation to remember all of the people that served alongside him and never came home. To remember them, to remember the wives, the husbands, the children, the parents that were left behind. Because they believed in something that was special and unique about what we have here and were willing to fight for it. So this Memorial Day, recommit yourselves to the idea that you have an obligation every day to wake up. Remember what it is that we have here. Remember what it is, the price that was paid in order to ensure that we could have it. And do everything within your power to make sure that you fight for and preserve a nation worthy of their sacrifice. I couldn't care less what some historian or academic or journalist or politician or Hollywood star thinks about my service. But I desperately care what someone like Master Sergeant Roy Benavides thinks about my service, because he's earned it. So make sure that you are honoring what he did, what the people that we have lost did. We owe it to them. And we shouldn't look at that obligation as a debt that we are reluctant to pay. We should look at it as something that we have the honor to repay.
Once again, thank you very much for listening. If you want to support the show, again, one of the best ways you can do it is by heading over to goodranchers.com with promo code Nick. You're going to get $15 off. You sign up for one of those subscriptions and you're going to get up to $480 of free meat with that subscription. You get to pick top sirloin, salmon, chicken breast, bacon. It is all up to you. Plus, if you're looking for gifts to get for the people that are impossible to shop for, goodranchers.com also has gift boxes. You need to act quick. This is part of their overall Black Friday special. So head on over to goodranchers.com, use promo code Nick, and once again, thank you for listening.